This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
3, 2, 1.
Do you know what I feel like doing?
Cashing in the bank?
Of course. I feel like kicking back, relaxing, and getting comfy. Welcome to the Get Comfy Lowdown. I'm your host, Kalo, as always, here to give you the lowdown on all things you could cash in. And I'm joined by my co-host.
I got money in the bank. Remember that song from 07? From
WWE? T-Pain?
No, not T-Pain. God.
I got money in the bank. Ooh-wee. I'm no, gonna take you, home with me.
You mixed two songs.
Did money, I?
Yeah. You got T-Pain. So I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah.
And then Money in the Bank is a completely different song.
You That's such a lie.
No, it is.
I'm convinced.
Say the words again.
I got money in the bank. Ooh wee. I'm gonna take a hope. That's the song. I'm convinced.
That's not the song I was thinking of, but hold on, let's see.
I drank lyrics. But anyway, while you do that, we'd like to thank anybody and everybody who is liking and sharing this podcast with anybody and everybody you know. I'm convinced.
I got money in the bank. Show me what you think about that.
Yeah.
I'll be in the gray Cadillac. In the bed like, ooh, wee.
Yeah, talk to me.
I'll talk back.
See, I know what I'm talking about.
I'll talk that. Crank Joe's bombs. Oakley shave. Shorty got class. Oh, behave. Let's get walk it out. Just like that we're talking about. See what you get me into?
See? I just had to prove my point with the lyrics. But we are here today to review Money in the Bank 2023, a divisive time in WWE we are in. And let's break down the show.
Well,
in general, I just want to say, pretty damn good premium live event, as they're calling it.
I don't think this has yet to be one PLE that Triple H has missed.
Don't call it that. Stop.
PLE.
Don't cave.
No, you know, if Triple H is giving us matches like this, I'm going to cave. It's like, you can't say under quote-unquote Triple H's era, there's yet to be a bad pay-per-view.
Yeah. All right.
It's like, it's been from SummerSlam last year all the way to Money Back, almost a full year, there has yet to be a bad pay-per-view.
Yeah.
At least matches haven't ended in disqualifications. Remember under Vince, every pay-per-view at least one. I remember the AJ and Shinsuke when both got hit in the nards and then they counted as a no. Oh, and Hell in a Cell match where Brock Lesnar came in and the ref was like, all right, Braun and Roman are out. Match is over. And it's like, it's a Hell in a Cell. You can't just be over like that.
It can't end like this.
Yeah. But no, so like I'm saying, good for Triple H though for giving us matches, bangers after bangers. Banger bros.
Oh, gosh. That was almost a thing. So I guess let's start. I want to do reverse, I guess, because the men's was up first.
Let's go from the match card up.
Go the proper way, because I don't know if you want to. Because I want you in a good mood for this podcast and not soiling it at the end.
I'm good. I have come to
terms.
Like I said before recording, I would have been more upset, and I probably would have done the worst way if Logan Paul won it. But since it makes sense, the winner was, I'm okay. I'm not upset. Am I sad? Yes. But I'm not going to cry, spill milk over it, and cry.
Okay, so first of all, I want to chronicle something, because leading up to Money in the Bank, which happened on Saturday, there was a report that came out that Logan Paul was being heavily considered to win Money in the Bank, you went into a frenzy mode.
Because you know that was Vince's call. You know well Vince is like, hey, bud, how about we put that bank on that Paul guy over there. He's a good wrestler. He's a good
wrestler.
And I was like, no, if you do it, Vince.
Oh, I just like how in the predictions podcast, like I ended it by saying, you know, do you think that they'll be that crazy?
Yeah, that's what got to me. That's when I shared it to you. I'm like, I swear to God, Kev, if you put this into existence.
I was that was the one time I was hoping it didn't happen. But anyway, he didn't win Money in the Bank.
But he did take a nasty bump face first to the table with that ricochet spot.
Yeah, that Spanish fly. Honestly, in that position, there's really not much you can do about it. Like, I don't call it a botch. It's just like, I mean, it technically is a botch, but like,
it is a botch.
But like,
look at Paul's face broke the fall though.
All of the flippy doodad stuff, the momentum, it was a cool spot.
It was a cool spot. I'm just happy Ricochet didn't get hurt.
Yes.
I give two shits about Logan Paul. He's not a full-time wrestler. So, but anyway, you know. it was a good one. The bot that moonsault that Butch did.
Yes.
That was a really good spot as well. But what I loved was when Logan Paul tried to put Damian Priest to the table, to the ladder, and he just bounced off like you're on trampoline. He was like, nope.
People were like, oh, he messed that up. Ladders aren't supposed to break, or like, yeah, most of the time they're not supposed to break. I mean,
and then KSI throws him a prime bottle. Like, here, give him
if anyone some hydration.
You'd be sorry if anyone else did it, they would have been just kicked out of the arena. Yeah, it pays to be famous, guys. That's it, my does
takeaway. So I guess someone who is rising to fame now is Damian Priest, this year's Mr. Money in the Bank.
You know what? Let me tell you why. You know, you've been saying, oh, somebody who isn't like in an upset move. The way I'm not upset is the way he won it and the way they had the camera angle set up with the hand rising instead of you just see him climbing up, because that was like a holy shit moment. Like, a hand, it felt like the Undertaker or Kane coming from the ring.
What? It's cinema, as the youth says.
Yeah, we're in the cinema era, and that you got me. I was like, holy shit, at that moment, just seeing the hand, not even the head or the body, just seeing the hand come up. It was like, that was a great way to end it. That's what I was like. I was like, all right. It wasn't like last minute you see him coming from the ring and then pushing it. You just see the hand rising up.
Well, I think we were both in agreement last week whenever it came down to, yeah, we were pretty... Yeah, we locked in LA Knight to win Money in the Bank, but we also said at some point, hey, like, Damian Priest as the winner here for the Money in the Bank makes sense too.
With, like, the storyline, yeah, with the Judgment Day, and then what Hunter said, that good things come for those who wait for LA Knight, so I think he's in it for the Rumble.
I was just going to say, I think it's right now for the two candidates, it's Gunther and LA Knight. I'm more now leaning towards LA Knight to win the Rumble, but
I would have had Gunther win the Rumble, have him go one and break his own record in the Rumble.
Like, oh, yeah.
I would be like, I'm the only one who could last the longest, and have him versus Seth at Mania, because I feel like that would have been a good match. But LA Knight versus Seth, maybe if Seth holds on to the title. Who knows?
So, the big thing with, like, Damian Priest winning, it adds a level of mystique to the Judgment Day. They were teasing the idea during the Seth and Finn match, like, hey, Damian has the briefcase, and I don't know, like, we're doing this right before Raw on that Monday, to tease, like, hey, I'm gonna cash in this match, and it's Dissension right there, and we don't know. He didn't come out during the Tribal Civil War match, so it seems as if Damian Priest is locked in on the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, at least for right now. Woo. So the one thing I want to ask you, as far as all this goes, I personally think he's locked in on the World Heavyweight Championship. Do you see a world where he goes after Roman? Because, like, I honestly could say right now, it it should be either Jay or Cody to beat Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, like, build Roman up. And yes, it'll make a star out of Damian Priest, but, like, it just kind of feels like a whatever thing, you know, so, for him to cash in and just ruin the reign, you know?
Yeah, it would. But then it's like, that. It's also that shocker of, like, holy shit.
You cashed
in on Roman. But here's my thing. The storytelling and the longevity of it, because it's either the longevity or the shock factor. With the longevity with Damian cashing in with Seth, not only you have the longevity, you also have that story with it. Because you can have, once he cashes in, that's it. Because at the end of the day, everyone likes Damian Priest. And then that cash in will make him an automatically face. And then you could say, I did something that Finn couldn't do. Hold on to the title longer than you, Finn. Or you could say, I did something that way you couldn't do at Money in the Bank, which beats Seth. And then you can have Seth versus Finn at that fall. Because apparently the rumor is that a cash-in is supposed to happen at SummerSlam. One cash-in at least. And people are saying it's not going to be Io Sky, so it might be Damian Priest. If you get Demon Finn versus Seth, then you have Damian Priest cash in on Demon Finn Balor. Who knows? But then with the Roman incident, I think you want Cody to finish this story. This long-ass chapter, this odyssey. It's basically an odyssey now. Remember that giant-ass book from high school?
I like that book, honestly. Yes.
You would like that book.
I would.
Cody's story has become a size of an odyssey book now. Give me that shit on what's it called?
Spark Notes,
yes. Thank you.
Of course.
You can have that, or you can have Jay finish the story at SummerSlam, which people are saying it's supposed to be a two-match sequence. It's supposed to be one at SummerSlam, and then at Payback, where Roman won the Universal title 3 years ago. I would rather have Jay win it at SummerSlam rather at Payback.
Yes. There's a lot to unpack as far as all the implications go.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get into that later at the main event.
Yeah, we'll get into that in the main event. But I guess transitioning to the next Money in the Bank winner, Io Sky, Miss Money in the Bank. Good call, good shout. The one thing I realized coming out of last week's predictions, and I think you said it after the fact, you were like, Bailey already won the briefcase.
I said that during the podcast. I was like, Bailey won it before.
And in my mind, I just, that completely just blocked out. And I was like, no, she didn't. Stop lying.
Technically, Bailey said in the press conference, we won the Money in the Bank. So technically, you were right.
No.
Well, I'm not.
I think this is EO's exit out of Damage Control.
I don't want Damage Control to break up, because I would rather have EO split off and then you bring somebody else in it. Or just don't break it cool. Because Bailey said we could do, like, kind of in an interview, she said we could do something like Lay Cool, like how Lay Cool were co-women's champions. She's like, me and EO could be co-Miss Money in the Bank.
It would be cool to have something like Lay Cool, because Bailey did you watch the press conference thing after or no?
Like bits and pieces.
So at the press conference, like what you were saying, like, oh, we won the briefcase, and EO kind of gave her that look.
Yeah.
And I think like a cool gimmick moving forward would be EO is definitely the champion, but Bailey has, like, because she feels so, like, I guess not to say she's irrelevant, but she feels like she is. Mm-hmm. And to be like, oh, don't forget me. I'm the women's champion as well. Like something like that would be funny to like carry out for a little bit.
I wish they didn't switch the women's titles just yet, because if they go with that route, they could do that, and then you can have Io versus Bailey with crowning a new women's champion. That would have been a good storytelling as well, instead of, here's a new title. Woo!
Now, the question, for Io, at least, who is she cashing in on?
Asuka.
Honestly, you're going to be surprised.
You're going to say mommy, aren't you?
I honestly would think Rhea Ripley. Before we continue the show, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. A lot of people face pressures to change themselves to fit other people's expectations, and the more freeing solution is to find the things that work for you. Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else might not really work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible and focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work towards your goals at a pace that's comfortable for you. And for me personally, that's huge. I know that I am not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I know that I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out. But by using Noom and having that little more of flexibility and stability, it certainly helps with my journey here. Noom also makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons that help you gain confidence and a practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, and cognitive behavioral approaches that teach you how to be mindful of your habit. 75% of Noom weight loss users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that is Noom, Noom.com/believe. Personally, I would like to see Asuka go on a tear on it for, because I she has been wronged more than Rhea has ever been. I mean, I think you can attest to that. I just want to see her go on a dominant reign, but
I just want to see the promos between Asuka and Bayley.
Oh, yeah.
We got a glimpse of that during the Grayson Waller effect, and that was fucking hilarious. To see that leading up to like a pay-per-view after the cash-in, it would be phenomenal, and I would love for it. And it's kind of like my way, because I always wanted Kairi Sane versus Asuka, but then she got injured, and then she asked for a release, so I never got that. So this is my Kairi Sane moment here. This is what I want. Give me Kairi Sane 2.0.
And the manner in which she won the briefcase was with ingenious.
Handcuffs and the climb. Honestly, dark horse of the dark winner in that match could have been Trish Stratus.
Yeah, she can go. She can go. I mean, I don't think that was like any secret, but they pointed out it was her first ladder match.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'd think Trish Stratus, for as long as she's been around, oh yeah, she competed in a ladder match before. No.
Well, you also agree, she was in like the late attitude era more or to the Ruthless Aggression, and they didn't really put the spotlight on women's matches that much.
Yeah, we all know what those matches were back then.
Yeah, slumber parties, bikini suit battles, and all that. Good times, and dark times. But
dark times.
Dark times. The thing is, I would have been okay for Trish Stratus winning it.
Yeah. The only thing I think, looking at the field of candidates for that match, I didn't see Zelina Vega. I didn't see Zoe Stark.
I loved the outfits that they had because there were callbacks to comic books and mangas. They were amazing.
Animes. All the animes.
Stop.
Now, I just want to ask a question for us both. Maybe to just put it out in the ether. Why do we like wrestlers who haven't faced enough adversity?
Adversity, mind you.
Adversity. Why? Like, why is it us? Why are we the ones? We don't want to be the ones.
because it's a main event.
Yeah, it is a main event. So I guess let's talk about the Civil War. Peak cinema, this match was.
Are we talking about that one? I thought we were talking about the other main event.
Which one?
The Versatility one.
Oh. We could talk about it. I mean, What do you want to talk about?
Okay, Cody. Okay, I
Cody
wish...
Cody versus Dom, by the way. I just want to put that out there.
Like, we didn't say that. I wish it would have been Dom going over.
I do, too.
Either clean or the help with Rhea or with Brock's music just playing. Because you want him... Because the story they're going with is you need to face more adversity. How embarrassing it is that you're losing to Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that, like, would be mega heat on Cody, on Dom. He already has mega heat. I don't know how much heat can you can get on this kid.
It would be also like ammunition for Brock because like the way, remember whenever Dom was like first in with his father,
yeah.
Brock can come out and be like, this is, you lost to the kid I threw around the ring like a rag doll. Like, yeah. What?
And apparently Brock was like backstage. He was rumored to be there. I really wish they had Dom go over Cody. Because Cody doesn't need to be Brock. Cody doesn't need to be Dom. Sorry.
Yeah.
Because if the rubber match or SummerSlam is have Cody go over Brock then, which I think it shouldn't be the case. He should be losing all his matches going up to Roman. I think he should have lost to Dom. Story's there,
and you also add more heat to Dom as if he doesn't have enough. But also, like, just, yeah, like, if we're doing this, he might as well lean into it fully. Also, too, since, like, Rhea was out there, a nice dynamic would have been Brandi Rhodes to appear, you know, to have.
Yeah, she's a mom. She's taking care of the kids.
She is a mom, yeah. Fair point.
But, hey, bro. Oh, go ahead. Were we going to talk about something else, bro?
No, bro. I'm going to let you have this, bro.
All right, bro. Thank you, bro. Let's talk about your boy Gunther versus the original bro, which everybody knows the original bro is woo, woo, woo. You know it. Matt Riddle versus Gunther for the IC title. Why was Mustafa Ali's match more entertaining than Matt versus Gunther? In my opinion, hot take alert.
Because of what happened at the end of this match. That's the only reason.
I know. I'm talking, take away the end of the match, right?
All right.
I enjoyed watching, still watch, like, from wrestling aspect of it, Ali and Gunther was better than Riddle and Gunther.
Yeah.
It's like,
I agree.
I was like, this match had, Gunther versus Riddle had story going, had a line. You thought it was going to be good, but it wasn't. But Mustafa Ali, who needs to get a life, and Gunther had a great match over. It was Saudi money. That's why. That's why they put on the big boy pants.
Whenever your paycheck is looking as fat as those are,
yeah,
you're a little motivated to sell and like do stuff. But the thing we were hinting at that happened at the end of this match was Drew McIntyre making his long-awaited return to WWE. Mm-hmm. I think we can hang our hats on the idea that Drew McIntyre, as much as I don't want this reign to end, you know, I love my Gunther. I personally think Drew is the guy to dethrone Gunther.
Well, it's 69 days before. Nice. Yeah, I know, right? Until Gunther beats that title reign. And there's 4 weeks, there's... Yeah, 4 weeks in a month. I forgot I lost count for a second.
And I don't even know that, honestly, so props to you.
No, thank you. I think SummerSlam, this is August this year, right?
August, yes.
Yeah, so hopefully, I'm not going to add up the multiplications, how many days are in a week. I'm too tired, too sweaty. But I don't want Gunther to lose. I want Gunther to break the record before losing the title.
And then lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I think that's great. I think that adds a level of, I mean, as if the IC title nowadays needs prestige, it just adds more to it. And whoever beats him will have another feather in their cap. I beat the longest reigning IC champ of all time, and it makes it a bigger deal. And who knows? But yeah, Drew coming back, great. I love Drew. There was all that talk about contracts. He didn't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. They billed it as he was just healing from a bunch of injuries and so on and so forth, which could have been. But yeah, he's back in the fold in WWE, and his eyes are set on Gunther, the Intercontinental Champion. Now, the time has come for your main event. And that is the tribal civil war between the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. Let me tell you, this match, start to end, bell to bell, had some of the best storytelling I've seen in a match. And I have been a proponent of saying before WrestleMania, this post WrestleMania Bloodline story is going to get stale fast. I think this is the hard stop point where we're treading water. Like, we're in the deep end now. Like, it something needs to happen to spice it back up or to change it completely.
Hot take. I didn't really like this match.
Really?
I maybe because I'm exhausted from the Bloodline. Yeah, the Usos turning on it. It was great. Should it happen a couple months prior? Yeah, it should have come. It should have came leading up to Mania or after Mania. But they're like, okay, the Bloodline's the hardest thing. Let's just stretch this out a lot, as much as possible. What's the ending cool? Well, yeah, because that's a flashback to Clash of the Champions. So, wait, how Roman beat Jay with the low bro pin attempt. That was cool. I popped for that. Because when I saw that, I'm like, damn it, they're putting Roman over. And I'm like, holy shit, the low bro out of nowhere. Somebody should sue. Randy's going to sue somebody, I swear. Out of nowhere. Boop. But, you know, that was a cool spot. And then after the match with Roman just screaming and like a little child. And in the ring, when he couldn't put Jay and Solo's just looking at him like, really? You can't put him? You're the tribal chief. You should be able to put him. That was great storytelling. But the match itself, it was just like, okay. For me, at least.
I just liked the moments in which you thought, all right, here we go. Roman match. I mean,
Roman wins at LOL.
Yeah, and it's like, all right, the Usos kicked out.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Like, I think it was a Samoan spike, or did they do the spear?
At the end of the match?
Where he stacked both of them up.
I think it was double Samoan spike.
Something like that. And they got stacked up. Roman was going to pin them both. And I was like, what a way to just, you know, say, all right, I'm the tribal chief. These guys mean nothing. Let's move on. And then they kicked out. I was like, okay. What are we doing here? What's going on?
But here's my thing. Like, going into it, part of me was like, they have to have Jay and Jimmy win. Because then who do you honestly have? You have no one building up to SummerSlam against Roman. Oh, payback.
It has to be Jay.
That's what I was thinking going into this match. I'm like, the Usos have to go because you have this. And then after this, you can have a singles match against either Jimmy or Jay against Roman. But then it's like, if Roman wins, who's on SmackDown? You're not building anyone up for the Universal title right now.
Yeah, that's always been, and like that's been the supposed leak card heading into SummerSlam. It's Jay versus Roman. I don't know if Jay does it. Like, I don't know. Part of me, I can get behind the idea of Jay dethroning Roman. But at the same time, I'm like, I just, even before Cody and everything, I was like, this has to go to another superstar outside the Bloodline. It just has to. At least that's how I think. But now, go ahead.
Apparently on SmackDown, we're supposed to have the Usos are doing a tribal chief sit down thing for Roman, apparently. So that's going to be interesting.
Is this the tribal court thing they were supposed to have and then they didn't?
They changed it to the trial of Sami Zayn, but now the Usos are holding one for Roman Reigns.
Okay. So that's I'm here for that.
And if I better see the Rikishi, I better see other Samoans coming down.
Yeah, well, that's also the joke that's been like they're uncovering a bunch of like NOIE relatives in the indie circuit. They're like, all right, they don't need the Usos. They can just go pick up these two from Progress or like whatever.
New Japan.
I'm like, okay, like if that's what we're doing, then that's what we're doing here. Hey, but
it's like Bullet Club Gold. It's like we have the real Bullet Club over here, but you guys can have the rest of the.
We got the Bullet Club at home. Yeah. We got the Bullet Club at home. But overall, and then I guess we'll touch on it real quick. John Cena, nice to see you.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see him.
I didn't see him. But that was a cool little unexpected twist. Nice little bit of dessert for you.
I was getting nervous. I was like, oh, wait, Grayson Waller versus Cena at SummerSlam? Really? Are we doing this?
I'm for that.
And after the Austin Theory match, I'm like, yeah.
The only way I'm doing that is if Grayson Waller goes over. I love
Grayson. Of course, Grayson. See, the Cena's Cena's going over giving people all the rub now. He's like, all right, I buried too many people back in the day. Time to bury me. But the announcement that Cena did, or I think you were hinting at it right now, is that Mania at London at some point?
I think they said 2026 would
it's be not
the
even,
year.
But it's not even set yet. Triple H is like, Cena just went out there and said it. And here's my thing. Because WWE is a circus, if you think about it. It comes around all the stage, people come in. You, oh, look at this strong man lift up an ambulance. Look at this beast guy throwing Dominic around the ring like it's nothing. It's a circus at the end of the day. And it's like an attraction. It's like, oh, come to our city, watch this once-in-a-lifetime moment. And that's what Mania is. It's like a tourist attraction. London doesn't really need a tourist attraction. London has all these other stuff for the tourists. London doesn't need WWE. WWE needs London. So I think them, John Cena just saying out, Cena is kind of making like the higher-ups over in England saying, hey, we want this. Make a deal with WWE right now. So we have and also because, you know, AEW just did the Wembley Stadium right now, a couple months back. So, and you know, rumor had it that they wanted London to be Castle of the Classic last year. And London was like, I ain't going over, brother.
Yeah, I also saw a thing this morning. I think it was from Cultaholic. They were talking about how they could potentially get the Rumble or even SummerSlam.
The crowd was funny as fuck, by the way.
Well, that's always international crowds. The United States, like, has...
Not Saudi. I don't know what you're talking about. Saudi,
I thought it was okay. It was better than any United States crowd,
But it wasn't funny. The crowd started singing.
Oh, funny, yes. I agree. There's a level of funny that the UK crowd has. And they don't care. They just say whatever they want.
Yeah. But yeah, and then Grayson Waller said Australia should have one. It's like, all right, if we're not going to get like a super live event, like Super Showdown when they did it over in Australia, but like an actual pay-per-view, I'm okay for it with WWE. I don't want it to be a SummerSlam for England. Give me Mania. I'll be okay with the Rumble, knowing that crowd.
I would like Survivor Series in London.
I wouldn't want it. No. Oh, Money in the Bank again. If they make Money in the Bank set in London.
Royal Rumble, royalty, the queen.
That's why I said Royal Rumble. Queen of the Ring.
Okay. I respect that.
King of the Ring, oh, too soon.
No, he just got in. You have it backwards.
The king died.
No, the queen.
No, because the saying is God save the queen.
Yeah, the queen passed, and the king is now the new guy in charge. You have it backwards, see? I know my royalty, but what I also know is where you could find more episodes of the Get Comfy podcast, Get Comfy Game Breaking, Get Comfy Lowdown, every single Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on all major listening platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and, of course, the Bleav Network. I have been K-Lo, joined by the one and only.
What up, guys? BKS.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Bleav. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Bleav.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.